on the earth. Something tells me that in persistence, God sees faith as a value that comes from that. Another one is in Luke 11, verse 5, Jesus says, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And the answer from within is, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and get him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here, Jesus draws a parallel between the unjust judge and the reluctant friend and God the Father. It's an unflattering parallel. It's an unflattering view of God, in my opinion, that there would be any reluctance. But Jesus does this to make a point. See, he's going to show, and God always shows that he's not unjust. He's not lazy. He's not stingy. But the point is, we are not to be easily deterred. Are you with me? We are not to be easily deterred. Here's an example of Jesus using his present circumstances, as an object lesson. In Matthew 15, the story goes, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he, Jesus, did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. She wasn't dignified. She wasn't compressed, suppressed, tied up, bound up by some decorum. She wasn't ashamed. She wasn't settling. But Jesus answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she kept coming, and she began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. It's an object lesson in persistence. In my mind, Jesus knew all along what he was going to do. And this was an example that he was setting for his disciples, for the people around, and for all of us to pray and not cease, to pray believing. He allowed himself to be cast in an unflattering light, wouldn't you say? He allowed himself to be cast in a stingy, resistant mode in order to show that, you know what, if we just persist a little bit, God has an answer for us. That's the power of consistent persistent faith, trust. How many can say, I won't be denied? I am not ashamed. I will not relent. Sometimes we get these ideas that, you know, well, we have to hear a certain thing in order to persist in prayer. And, you know, whether you agree with that or not, I think it's clear that Jesus was teaching us there are times of persistent prayer when there may be no other recourse in your life. There may be no other thing to do. You don't have any other answer. You're like that Syrophoenician woman. You're saying, you know what? This is it. I am all in. God's got to do something. And he's showing us he will. We have to hold on to the knowledge that God is more good than we are. We have to hold on to the knowledge that he's been better to us than we could have been to ourselves. He is more than kind. He is more than merciful. He is more than faithful. Can you say faithful? One more example. This is where Jesus shows how to be persistent. It's one, there's others, but they came to Bethsaida in Mark 8:22. They came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see people. I see people looking like trees walking around." But once more, Jesus put his hands on his eyes, and then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." That was an opportunity for Jesus to wonder, well, am I doing this right? But he used that, and Scripture uses that as an example to say, you know what? Try it again. The spirit of again must be in you. That persistent spirit of again, I will not be turned away. I will not give up. I will not be easily offended if God doesn't show up like that. See, even Jesus had to be persistent in this case. He was persistent in many other cases. Like I've already told you, he was persistent when he was coming after you. How long did he labor? How long did he try to woo you and persuade you? How many friends told you, you know what, Jesus loves you? Maybe some of us may have been saved since you were three. Even 3 years is a long time to wait. What if Jesus had not persisted in pursuing you and me? What if he got offended and said, you know, it's not going to work? What if he had not persisted in obedience when he was in the garden, asking God, can this cup be passed from me? What if Abraham had not persisted in faith? It wasn't pretty. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't flawless, but he persisted in faith. I can identify with that. What if Abraham, what if Jacob had not wrestled through the long night until he was blessed? What if Elijah had not held out for the rain to appear? "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And the servant went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. And then a cloud appeared. And he said, "Go and tell the king, better get on before the rain stops you." Peter said Elijah was a man like us. And God heard his prayers. So we will expect the same. Elijah was a man like us, and God heard his prayers. So what are we going to expect? That he hears our prayers. Blink if you hear me. Nod. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. This is all, you guys are just listening to me preach to myself, okay? What if Nehemiah had not labored for 52 days? What if he had not labored for 52 days enduring threats, enduring insults and mocking? Oh, if only a fox jumped on the wall, it would fall over. What if he had not endured 52 days of that? It should have taken a lot longer to build the walls of Jerusalem. What would happen if we persisted for 52 days? Can you hang on for 52 days and believe God? Can you and I do that? I think we can. What if it's 53? What if it's past the time? Okay, it's been 52 days, God. Can you still keep believing? Can you keep trusting? That's where the rubber hits the road. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us, is that, you know what? It's going to be worth it. Give God a chance to work where you can't see. Hallelujah. Says in Hebrews chapter 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And it goes on to say, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. And you lift your hand and say, we do not belong to those who shrink back, but to those who have faith and are saved. So the word for today is persist. Will you persist in faith? What you're holding before God, will you persist? Will you give him time to work? Will you stand? Will you persevere? Will you be stubborn? Will you be a little bit bullheaded for the glory of God? Will you be unwavering, unrelenting in what you've put in his hands? Can you do that today? God is worthy of it. He's worthy of our patience. He's worthy of our enduring. I want things like this. And it's great when it happens like that, because sometimes it does. Can you say amen? Sometimes it does. Sometimes things just click and roll, man. Hallelujah. We're going now. This is great. But then, can we hang? Can we hang and give him time when he needs to? Maybe he needs to make sure that Uncle Fred is well taken care of before he gives you what you're asking for. Maybe he needs to make sure that these people come alongside and they're not hurt by the fact that you're blessed. Maybe he needs to do this over here and heal this person before you can get that, before a salvation, before something else. There's things that need to take place we have no idea of. So we give God grace like he gave us. We persist. Amen? I'm going to play a song, Phil. And while the song is playing, it would be great if you could just think about all the things that God has done already and focus on that. Because we have that choice. We can focus on what he's done. Or we can focus on what he hasn't done. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. During the song, I saw a picture of us, and I'm going to invite you to join in and take those things that you're carrying before the Lord and hold them out. And maybe if you just have one thing, you hold it out. Or maybe if you have a basket full, you could do this. Lord, we lift up in agreement all of these requests, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we are not discouraged or diminished in our faith. We are strengthened in our faith, God, because we know that you are faithful. Thank you for those salvations we've been longing for. Thank you for the deliverance we've been asking for. Thank you for the unstuckness, God. Thank you for the provision, God, that you know we need, that you're working on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for all of those unmentioned petitions, God. Thank you for those things that weigh. And we give the weight of it to you. And we rejoice in your answer, God. We rejoice in your breakthroughs right now, God. We rejoice in your faithfulness, God. And we all agree in these prayers. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.